Welcome to It's a Good Life, the podcast for entrepreneurs, where it's all about growing yourself and your business. Here's your host, founder of America's largest business coaching company, Brian Buffini.
Top of the morning to you and welcome. Aloha from the Big Island of Hawaii. Excited to bring a presentation to you today on how to beat procrastination. Now, as the head of the largest business coaching company in North America, I can tell you this, that when we get people to beat procrastination, we get people to beat their goals. When we help people beat procrastination and get past it, ultimately, it's where they enter into this next level of success for themselves. And procrastination is more than just putting stuff off. And we're going to talk about that today. More than 30% of adults consider themselves to be chronic procrastinators. It's a behavior that's actually twice as prevalent among self-employed people. One of the reasons for it is we're our own accountability oftentimes. That's why I love coaching. It takes the self out of self-help or self-employed. So as small business owners, we're especially susceptible to procrastination. Now, the basic definition of procrastination is to be slow or late about doing something that should be done. To be slow or late about doing something that should be done. Now, I don't like the word should too much, but I think ultimately that definition is about something that's a high priority. We tend to put off the things that are the most important for our health, the most important for our finances, the most important for our business. When I talk about people having their affairs in order, people know I should have insurance and a will or a trust. I should have things set up and I should have my documentation in order. I should have my medical stuff all outlined for my family. But we put it off. And there's reasons why we put it off. And we're going to talk about that. Procrastination expert Dr. Joseph Ferrari says procrastination is not waiting. It is more than delaying. It is a decision not to act. That's what procrastination is. I love the fact that the guy who's the foremost expert on procrastination, his name is Ferrari, which is all about going fast. There are many psychological and emotional factors behind this, and we're going to delve in today. It's ultimately a very serious self-defeating pattern. Today, I'm going to break down the different causes of procrastination and help you get to the root cause of the problem. There's the psychology of it. There's the impacts of it. And then we're going to talk about how to beat procrastination. So if you're game today, I'm game. And we're going to put it off no longer. We're going to delve in here. We all have a little bit of this. We all put off things that we know are good for us. We know that would benefit us. We know would help us in our lives. We know would help us maybe become more successful. But we have a tendency to put off the good. We're going to talk about that. Research from Medium.com says procrastination is a complex interplay between cognitive, emotional, and behavioral factors. Cognitive, in the mind. Emotional, in the heart and spirit. And then behavioral, that's kind of our habits and what we do. And we're going to dive into those three. So on the cognitive side, sometimes we overestimate our time, underestimate the effort and resources required to do something. And that lends itself to like a distorted thinking pattern. What happens is, one of the things I'll share with you about procrastinators is they're often late. And people who are chronically late, what's happened is they don't even realize it after a while. They don't know. It's like someone with bad breath. They can't really tell. And the reason being is they've made excuses. They're able to explain it away. Hey, I was just coming from a meeting. Hey, I had a lot on my plate. All those kinds of things. I've talked about this because in 1997, I had a chance to meet Dr. Alex Lackey, who was the most organized man in America at the time. He set me straight because I was a guy who had a lot going on, and I showed up, and he was my mentor. I showed up to my second luncheon appointment to him late, just like I did the first one. And he sat down and he said, well, this will probably be our last meeting, but let me make good on a promise I made to you at the beginning, which is to always tell you the truth. When you show up late and you have a smile on your face and a story to tell them why you're late, it doesn't really matter what the story is. What it communicates and what you're saying loudly is, my time is much more valuable than yours. Now, he was a pretty high-performing guy. And the truth of the matter is, in regards to value and what the marketplace said, his time was more valuable than mine. But when he told me, you know, you're doing this, you're breaking trust with people. And so that dynamic of being late often has the exact same flow as people who procrastinate. People who procrastinate have excuses and reasons for it. They're able to actually say it in a way that they go, oh, I'm a terrible procrastinator. And actually say it in a way that they can have a smile on their voice. It's a deadly deal. We have a dynamic where we launched this program called Do It Now. Now, the interesting part about the Do It Now campaign is it takes a little time to work. But the action has to be taken now. People have to do it today. And people have to do it today and not expect a result tomorrow. But if you don't do the actions today, there's no result coming the day after tomorrow. First and foremost, we have to understand that this is a cognitive exercise. Even if you're in the do it now mode, it's a cognitive exercise. We have to change our thinking. We tend to put off things that are most important to us. It's in our mind. And the mind has to control the body, not the body control the mind. And I'm going to share with you how to beat that today, because one of the ways to do it is by having some really good habits. The second dynamic of procrastination, which is really the deeper touch on this subject, is that procrastination is much more closely to the emotion of fear than anything else. Author Caroline Miss said, perfectionism is the fear of being criticized. So many people, they put off doing something because it's just not right. It's just not good enough. It's just not what it needs to be. You know, we produce these marketing materials in the Do It Now campaign, and I've had people go, well, I just didn't send it out because yellow's not my color, and so on and so forth. This thing had a touch of yellow in it, and I've really branded myself around the greens. And really what it is, it's a terrifying scream of, I'm afraid of being judged. And that is the case. Author Eric Yong says, we are so scared of being judged that we look for every excuse to procrastinate. It's a fear, and it's a misplaced desire for perfectionism. And so we see this over and over again. It's packaged as perfectionism because quality is a reasonable excuse. I was trying to make it even better. You know, the people who do best with our system is the people who just send out the marketing materials, send out the notes, trust that there's a bit of research going on behind it, and then they do the action steps and they make the calls, and the next thing you know, they're getting the results. And yet we have people who perfect and perfect and perfect, but it's really not that. It's fear. The other piece of the emotional aspect of procrastination is, what if I do it and I'm no good? When people come to our events in the last 30 years, they see and they'll hear all these amazing stories of people who quadruple their income and quintuple their income and change their life. And the average person's making 450 grand, 5 weeks off, and all these things. But in their heart of hearts, sometimes you'll hear these conversations one-on-one. They'll talk to a coach or one of our staff, and they go, what's the failure rate? What's the failure rate? How many people actually fail? Because what's the fear is, I'm going to be the one. The system makes sense. I'm pretty sure if I did that, it would work. I'm pretty sure if I got a coach to hold me accountable and meet with me every couple of weeks and coach me up and help me break through these projects and break them down and get them done, I know I'd do it. I know I'd be more successful. The fear is, what if I do it and I'm no good? So there's a huge emotional piece there with procrastination. It's under the guise of perfectionism. It's under the guise of refinement. But the truth of the matter is, it's an actual fear. It starts in the mind cognitively, but it goes deep down into the heart. I'm afraid of being judged. And then lastly is the behavioral part. The one thing I can tell you with procrastinators is they don't have, and never do, have solid daily habits and routines. The reason being is habits and routines, when done ritualistically, your conscious mind sits in the back seat instead of the front seat. So what happens is you're doing the routine. And for an example of this is when you brush your teeth. When you brush your teeth, 90% of the time you brush your teeth exactly the same way every time, because it's a habit. And the more things we habitualize in our life, the more proactive we become, the less you have to think about it. When we have to take it from the cognitive mind and then try to, you know, how do we get it into the unconscious that we just do it? Well, that's through repetition of routine and habit. 80% of our actions come out of our unconscious mind. So for example, some of you listening today, procrastination, that's actually the number one habit you have. And so you've routinized that. And so the only way to break out of it is you really got to be aggressive in pursuing this. For my money, the best guy on habits, his name is Charles Duhigg. He wrote a book called The Power of Habit. And actually, Charles will be speaking at this year's Peak Experience. It's our 20-year anniversary. It's May 5th through 8th in Colorado Springs. Absolutely fabulous situation up there in the Broadmoor. Fabulous property. And I would say this, people listening to this, you should have on your goal list one time to get to Peak. The Peak Experience is an extraordinary in-depth immersion in 3 days of personal growth, development, synergy with high achievers. The event's been sold out every year since we first launched in 2003. It's our 20-year anniversary. It's going to be a spectacular time. I'm pretty sure it's sold out now, but you should have it on your goal list or get on a waiting list there and see if you can ever make the peak experience. Charles Duhigg will be there. And here's one of his quotes. He says, "Most of the choices we make each day may feel like the products of well-considered decision-making, but they're not. They're actual habits. And though each habit means relatively little on its own, over time, the meals we ordered, what we say to our kids each night, whether we save or spend, how often we exercise, and the way we organize our thoughts and work routines have enormous impacts on our health, productivity, financial security, and happiness." And so that's the exact definition of what I'm talking about, whereas when things become habitualized, routinized, you just do it on autopilot. And when you're doing the good stuff on autopilot, you're winning. Og Mandino said, "Good habits are the key to all success. Bad habits are the unlocked door to failure." One of my favorite authors, Brian Buffini, said, "Habits and routines are the secret elixir of the most successful people in the world." No doubt. And it's been around a long time, right? Aristotle says we are what we repeatedly do. So we're going to get to that solution side. We've got to understand that there's an emotional side to procrastination. There's a behavioral side, and then there's a cognitive side. And so procrastination, it is the enemy of your success. It's the enemy of your potential. We need to stamp it out. We need to know it's in the mind, it's in the heart, and it's in the habits. The second dynamic here is the impacts of procrastination. What happens? What happens when we do it? So, okay, Brian, what if I do give in to the fear? What if I am concerned about judgment? What if I don't have the routines? Well, the first thing is productivity plummets. In a busy world, time is precious, and you can't afford paralysis and inaction. The world will pass you by. Your debts will pass you by. Your waistline will pass you by. Your medical results will pass you by. Your relationships will pass you by because you keep putting it off. Wonderful story, and I'm not going to mention her name because she's still a member with us 20 years into our coaching program. Fabulous lady, really good professional in the business. But she came up to me one time, she says, "I just can't get my head around writing these notes." And, you know, thing was, she was really well put together, perfectly dressed, hair, taken, makeup, everything, just looked the part. And she goes, I just don't know what to say. And what she was really telling me is, "I'm afraid of what people will think of me sending these notes to them." So I said, "You know, what is the barrier?" And she goes, "Well, you know, just what to say and what will people think?" And again, it gets down to judgment and so on and so forth. And there's a big long line of people talking to me at the end of the seminar. So I said to her, I said, "Do me a favor. There's a note in the back of your card. We give out samples in these workbooks." I said, "I want you to do this. Do this for me. Write your best friend's name on the outside of an envelope and their address. And then I want you to take a blank personal note that's in your workbook and just sign your name to it." And I said, "Don't wait in line. When you're done, just come back up." So I talk to the next person, And sure enough, she shows back up. And of course, perfect handwriting. Okay, one of the ways you can notice a perfectionist. She's perfect handwriting. She had her envelope all addressed, and then inside there was a personal note with her signature on the bottom. So I take out my pen out of my pocket, and I just write, "Hi," and I see the name, and I write the person's name, and "I'm just thinking of you today." I put the note in the envelope, and she's looking at me kind of like that quizzical dog look, and I say, "Do you have a business card? Okay, let me give you that too." And then I lick the envelope, and I hand it to one of my staff, and I said, "Go mail that." Now, I'm telling you, there was a shriek that came out of this woman's, like, deep in her soul core. And she just shrieked. And she was pissed at me. Pissed at me. And I said, "Now, here's the thing. You just sent out a note today to someone you really like. And it didn't have to say too much. You just sent it off." And she was just standing there looking at me, red-faced, pissed off. And I said to her, "Well, now you'll have to give her a call." And so she did. Well, sure enough, she gets a message about 10 days later to her coach, who gets an email back to me saying, "Hey, Smarty Pants, guess what? Call my friend. They said, hey, it was great to hear from you. Thanks for the kind note." The fact of the matter is she had all these reasons built up in her head. These are reasons that people don't have. You know, I love the expression of the older person who says, you know, when you're young, you're so concerned of what people are thinking of you. And then you get older and you go, to heck with it. I don't care what people are thinking of me. And then you get to be old and you realize people weren't thinking about you in the first place. We have all this judgment that we project onto other people, onto ourselves. And it's just not the case. So productivity plummets when that happens. And what I can tell you about this gal, she went on to become a very disciplined note writer and made it part of our system. She's in our coaching program more than 20 years. She's one of the top agents we have. But that was one of the things she had to overcome. You know, that's why that phrase, just do it, or do it now, is a powerful thing. Abraham Lincoln said, you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Victor Kiam, he had the world's biggest shaving company, and he's the guy, I like the company so much I bought it. He said, procrastination is opportunity's assassin. Productivity plummets, then what we know is our well-being suffers. Procrastination affects how we feel about ourselves. And the more we procrastinate, the more anxious, guilty, ineffective we become. We become lazy, we become stressed out. We then eat bad and do all those things. So here's the thing, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm going to tell you where the answer is. I'll tell you for me, is I change my well-being when I commit religiously to morning routines. End of story. I have five very simple routines, and when I do them, I win, and when I don't, I struggle. I've been out here in Hawaii, and I've been really focused on my routines and so on and so forth, and I had 2 days when those routines were thrown off through different things, and that's life. Both of those days, I felt off all day. And so it's okay, and some days you will feel off. That's why the routines are everything. A study of Swedish university students found that procrastination was associated with worse mental health. People suffered more with depression, anxiety, and stress, unhealthy lifestyle behaviors, poor sleep quality, physical inactivity, and then they used more alcohol, abused food, and other things. People also experienced worse levels of loneliness and then longer-term economic difficulties. And so this procrastination is lethal. And we just got to, hey, there's major impacts to this. My productivity plummets, but so does my well-being. Charles Glassman said, when you procrastinate, you also postpone happiness. Mason Cooley, who's a famous writer, said, procrastination makes easy things hard and hard things harder. We just got to get in the game. And then what happens is, you know, that thing we all hope for, that success, it just falters. When you procrastinate, you can never truly reach your full potential. No chance. I mean, there isn't anybody in the world who has a book, Procrastinate Your Way to Success. There's nobody would believe in it. So it's an enemy. We got to attack it as an enemy. And we're going to talk about that. 40% of financial issues have to do with procrastination. Why? Because we'd rather not know. You know, this, it's a hassle to do a budget and, you know, so on and so forth. Next thing you know, I got six or seven little subscriptions I didn't know I had. Next thing you know, I have 24% interest rates on a credit card that I didn't really pay attention to. And I didn't know that the teaser rate had gone from 7% to 22%. A huge impact. And that's what people plan on. That's what the credit card companies plan on you being a procrastinator. That's how they make so much money. We have to make sure that we are not going to have our success hijacked. Fellow San Diego resident, Dennis Waitley, said, procrastination is the fear of success. People procrastinate because they're afraid of success. They know it will result if they move ahead now. Because success is heavy. It carries a responsibility with it. It's much easier to procrastinate and live on the someday if philosophy. Very powerful indeed. Lastly, how do you beat procrastination? Well, believe it or not, the way to start is to develop a growth mindset. You go, hang on a second here. How does a growth mindset become the antidote for procrastination? Because procrastination is a minimalistic behavior pattern. If you adopt a growth mindset, and we began here with it's a cognitive thing, what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? My old mentor, Lou Holtz, used to say, if you're not growing, you're dying. How can you work on yourself? What are the areas you need to go work on? And what routines can you put into place for 30 days? And if you'll do for 30 days, you can get into a new habitual routine that can help you. I just think morning is the way to go. For me, it's about the morning. And if I win the morning, if I win the first hour and a half of the day, I usually win the day. If I lose the first hour and a half of the day, I most likely will lose the day. It becomes a hell of a struggle. It's like hitting the first two balls out of bounds on the first tee in golf. It's like going down two touchdowns in the first 5 minutes of a football game. It's just harder. A couple things I would do on the growth mindset here is listen to episode 141, season 2 of What I Learned from Jim Rohn. Very, very powerful. I mean, that's my personal growth guy that changed my life. I read, watch, and listen to Jim Rohn still to this day. Carol Dweck, brilliant author, said, love challenges. Be intrigued by mistakes. Enjoy effort and keep on learning. And then again, Jim Rohn, I just quoted this to a young man here in Hawaii the other day, an ambitious young man. And I said, hey, work harder on yourself and you do on your job. You'll go from making a living to making a fortune. That happened for me and that can happen for you too. So you want to beat procrastination? First, develop that growth mindset. Second, you want to make it automatic. And that's why I keep saying our actions come out of our unconscious mind. We've got to put the habits in place to make them automatic. The Power of Full Engagement, one of my favorite books by Tony Schwartz, talked about these habits that we develop that actually at the highest level, these were top athletes. Jim Lehrer was working with Tony's partner on this book, and that the top athletes, Andre Agassi and all these people, it was all about habits that became automatic. So you develop the routine, the habits, the structure, the consistency. You get coaching, you get training, you put the personal growth stuff into you, and you make that part of your lifestyle. James Clear said, habits will form you whether you form them or not. Whatever you repeat, you reinforce. That's nothing new. Norman Vincent Peale in the 50s, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, said, repetition of the same thought or physical action develops into a habit, which repeated frequently enough becomes an automatic reflex. And that's what we want. And the last thing is to embrace this concept of do it now. Do it now. On the business side, okay, the now stood for no chaos and own the listings and win market share for people in the real estate business. In the personal growth and development side, do it now. The now stands for no other way. No other way. You do it now. If you're listening to this podcast and you're out for a walk or you're in your car, whatever it is, please honor your investment in listening to it. Honor our investment as an entire team of putting this thing on by making a commitment that by the time this episode ends, you're going to commit to one new routine, or you're going to get back on the wagon of one routine that was a good health habit, a good mental habit, a good emotional habit, a good financial habit, whatever it is, good spiritual habit. What's the one thing you're going to focus on? That's what Do It Now is all about. There's no other way. In the business side, this Do It Now campaign, if you're a small business owner and you really want to grow your business, you need to check it out. Go on itsagoodlife.com/do-it-now. And you'll see there all the marketing resources and whatever else for people to go and promote their business and generate business right now. And people do it now, or people just listen now. Sometimes people will listen to a podcast and say, there it is, I've done the work for the day. Okay, the only time it really works is if you apply something you learned. We had Mel Robbins at our Peak Experience and a couple of our Success Tour events. And Mel basically came up with the 5-4-3-2-1 strategy. Her dynamic was she changed her life by not being able to get out of bed. Her day didn't start many days. And she would turn off the alarm and go back under the covers. And she almost ruined her life. And she developed this 5-4-3-2-1. When she had the thought, it was a habit, a routine she knew she needed to do, whether it's working out in the morning, it's cold outside, it's raining, whatever it is. 5-4-3-2-1, go. And she said, I'd be up and out of the bed and on my way to doing it before I had a chance to talk myself out of it. So sometimes that 5-4-3-2-1, that's ultimately the do it now. You really have to make the commitment to it. It's been around a long time. Charles Dickens wrote, my advice is never to do tomorrow what you can do today. Procrastination is the thief of time. Collar him. Collar your procrastination. Get it under control. And you'll be on the road to incredible success. How amazing is that? It's been around a long time. It is what we repeatedly do, those habits. And we talked about the psychology of procrastination. We talked about the impacts of procrastination. And we talked about how to beat procrastination. Well, hopefully this has been helpful for you. Hopefully there's something you can take from this. Hopefully you can get into your routines. And when you do your routines, if you do it for 30 days, guess what? It becomes that habit. And then the habits pull you instead of you having to push it. Hopefully this was helpful for you today. I'm going to throw it back over to our executive producer, Mr. David Lally, who has a good word for everybody at the end of today's show.
Love this stuff, Brian. There's such a relief checking things off the list and beating procrastination. There's definitely a few things I need to do now. Thanks to you listeners for your loyalty, as always, and for the great reviews. There are thousands of 5-star reviews on there. I always love reading back through them, and we don't take that stuff lightly. Thanks to Gregor, who says, great show. I've listened to almost the entire back catalogue. So much wisdom. Thanks, Brian. Well, we appreciate you guys. And for those of you in business, head to itsagoodlife.com. Just click on the Do It Now graphic. It's all your marketing in a box. It's the best stuff we've ever put out, so go get it. And in the meantime, here's Brian's mum, Therese, to send us home.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.